Hi. So I have gotten so many recommendations and requests to do hysterical literature, which I had to look up. And before I go any further, I want to give credit to the creator of this project. I might mispronounce his name, Clayton Cubitt, who created the original Hysterical Literature Project, and I consider this but my meager contribution to it. So today I'm going to be writing my Womanizer Pro while reading On the Road by Jack Kerouac, and I am going to see how long it takes me to come. I will be fascinated because normally with the Womanizer, well, I won't give anything away. I'm gonna just wait and see. I've never found Jack Kerouac's writing to be particularly arousing. However, The Womanizer has this nifty little gift of being able to get me off to literally anything because it is sucking so tenderly on my clit, which I love. P.S. to any girls out there listening, if you have trouble achieving climax, it's a big investment, but when you're able to invest in a Womanizer, and possibly experience the first and or best orgasm of your life. Without further ado, here is part one of On the Road by Jack Kerouac, augmented by my Womanizer Pro on my pussy. Okay. All right, I'm cranking it up. Might be too high. Okay. I first met Dean not long after my wife and I split up. I had just gotten over a serious illness that I won't bother to talk about, except that it had something to do with the miserably weary split up and my feeling that everything was dead. With the coming of Dean Moriarty, ordinarily I might know how to pronounce that, began the part of my life you could call my life on the road. Before that, I'd often dreamed of going out west to see the country, always vaguely planning and never taking off. Dean is the perfect guy for the road because he actually was born on the road when his parents were passing through Salt Lake City in 1926 in a jalopy on their way to Los Angeles. First reports of him came to me through Chad King, who showed me a letter from him written in a New Mexico reform school. I was tremendously interested in the letters because they so naively and sweetly asked Chad to teach him all about Nietzsche and all the wonderful intellectual things Chad knew. At one point, Carlo and I talked about the letters and wondered if we could ever meet the strange Dean Moriarty. This is all far back when Dean was not the way he is today, when he was a young jail kid shrouded in mystery. Then news came that Dean was out of reform school and was coming to New York for the first time. Also, there was talk that he had just married a girl called Mary Lou. One day, I'm turning it up. One day, I was hanging around the campus, and Chad and Tim Gray told me Dean was staying in a cold water pad in East Harlem, the Spanish Harlem. Dean had arrived the night before, the first time in New York, with his beautiful little sharp chick, Mary Lou. They got off the Greyhound bus at 50th Street and cut around the corner looking for a place to eat and went right in Hector's. And since then, Hector's cafeteria has always been a big symbol of New York for Dean. They spent money on beautiful big glazed cakes and cream puffs. All this time, Dean was telling Mary Lou things like this. Now, darling, here we are in New York, and although I haven't quite told you everything that I was thinking about when we crossed Missouri, and especially at the point when we passed the Boonville Reformatory, which reminded me of my jail problem. It is absolutely necessary now to postpone all those leftover things concerning our personal love things and at once begin thinking of specific work-life plans and so on in the way that he had in those early days. I went to the cold water flat with the boys, and Dean came to the door in his shorts. Mary Lou was jumping off the couch. Dean probably to make coffee. Whoops, skipped a line. Oh, I'm getting a little distracted. Dean had dispatched the occupant of the apartment to the kitchen, probably to make coffee, while he proceeded with his love problems. For to him, sex was the one and only holy and important thing in life, although he had to sweat and curse to make a living and so on. You saw that in the way he stood bobbing his head, always looking down, nodding like a young boxer to instructions, to make you think he was listening to every word, throwing 1,000 yeses and that's right. My first impressions of Dean was of a young Gene Autry, trim, thin-hipped, blue-eyed, with a real Oklahoma accent, a sideburned hero of the snowy West. In fact, he'd just been working on a ranch, Ed Walls, in Colorado before marrying Mary Lou and coming east. Mary Lou was a pretty blonde with immense ringlets of hair, like a sea of golden tresses. I lost my place. She sat there on the edge of the couch with her hands hanging in her lap and her smoky blue country eyes fixed in a wide stare because she was in an evil gray New York pad that she'd heard about back west and waiting like a long-bodied, emaciated Modigliani surrealist woman in a serious room. Outside of being a sweet little girl, she was awfully dumb and capable of doing horrible things. That night, we all drank beer and pulled wrists and talked till dawn, and in the morning, while we sat around dumbly smoking butts from ashtrays in the gray light of a gloomy day, Dean got up nervously, paced around, thinking, and decided the thing to do was to have Mary Lou make breakfast and sweep the floor. In other words, we've got to get on the ball, darling, what I'm saying, otherwise it'll be fluctuating, and lack of true knowledge or crystallization of our plans. Then I went away. During the following week, he confided in Chad King that he absolutely had to learn how to write for him. One moment. That's my dog scratching at the door. Lots of distractions. During the following week, he confided in Chad King that he absolutely had to learn to write for him. Chad said I was a writer and he should come to me for advice. Meanwhile, Dean had gotten a job in a parking lot, had a fight with Mary Lou in their Hoboken apartment. God knows why they went there, and she was so mad and so down deep vindictive that she reported to the police some false, trumped up, hysterical, crazy charge. And Dean had to lamb from Hoboken, so he had no place to live. He came right out to Paterson, New Jersey, where I was living with my aunt, and one night, while I was studying there was a knock on the door, and there was Dean, bowing, shuffling obsequiously in the dark of the hall and saying, Hello, you remember me, Dean Moriarty? I've come to ask you to show me how to write. And where's Mary Lou, I asked. And Dean said she'd apparently hoard a few dollars together and gone back to Denver, the whore. So we went out to have a few beers because we couldn't talk like we wanted to in front of my aunt, who sat in the living room reading her paper. Oh, God. She took one look at Dean and decided that he was a madman. In the bar, I told Dean, "Hell, man, I know very well you didn't come to me only to be a writer. And after all, what do I really know about it except you've got to stick to it with the energy of a Benny addict?" And he said, "Yes, of course, I know exactly what you mean. And in fact, all of those problems have occurred to me, but the thing is, I want the realization of those factors, that they should, one, depend on Schopenhauer's dichotomy for any inwardly released, and so on. And in that way, things I understood not a bit, and he himself didn't. In those days, he really didn't know what he was talking about. That is to say, he was a young jail kid all hung up on the wonderful possibilities of becoming a real intellectual. And he liked to talk in the tone and using the words, but in a jumbled way, that he had heard from real intellectuals, although, mind you, he wasn't so naive as that in all other things, and it took him just a few months with Carlo Marx to become completely in there with all the terms and jargon. Nonetheless, we understood each other's levels of madness, and I agreed that he could stay at my house till he found a job, and furthermore, we agreed to go out west sometime. That was winter of 1947. Oh, fuck. One night, when Dean ate supper at my house, he had... I made it to page four of On the Road. So beat that if you can while riding a womanizer at its highest speed. I am covered in sweat. I have squirted all over my comforter. And what else do you need to know, really? Clearly, I feel great. I am really getting into Jack Kerouac like I never have before. And I think I've garnered an appreciation for his work that I simply could not have developed in college. All right. Well, that was On the Road. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back absolutely for another installment. By the way, I'm currently recording on my iPhone. If this got you off and you are feeling generous and want to donate a mic to me, please let me know, because I would love to continue making high quality contributions to this subreddit, but it's hard to do from an iPhone. I'm a little shaken up. Okay. Yes, I'd love a mic if anyone out there is willing to sponsor a young girl having orgasms to classic lit. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. I hope you enjoyed. Goodbye.